All aboard! It's the second hour of the Internet Advisor, and that's the time when this becomes your program. That is, we set our agenda by what's concerning you. Your questions, your concerns about your computers or other digital device. And we got a great group of people in here to tackle those problems. Karsten Thomas is with us, Ed Rudell and Gary Baker down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Standing by along with me, Foster Brown, to answer your questions. You heard the young lady. 800-859-0957. As we often encourage you, give us a call early. Call early here and get your question on board. Make sure that we tackle your problem. And as a reminder to you that the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. So please do ask those questions. Don't feel like, well, I don't know much about computers. Well, that's why we have this hour that we've had open for going on 20 years to be here to answer your questions.
Hey, now, Foster, on the way in, one of the things that happened is you forgot to print off the show notes.
Yes.
So one of the things I always carry around with me is a USB print cable. And remember, most laser printers in most offices still have that USB print port in the back, the one that's sort of shaped like the Monopoly money, the house shape.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always carry one of those cables with me. So you emailed it to me because you have a Mac and that doesn't plug into anything.
I know.
And with that USB 3C on the side. And email it to me, and then I printed out the show notes, and we were good to go.
Yeah, all I needed was a $30 dongle to be able to do
$30, $80.
No, I can get one for $30 on Amazon that has the, you plug it into that C port.
Right, and then it has.
And it has.
The USB 3C, the video, and.
Yeah.
Right. And a standard USB port.
And a standard USB, right, exactly.
You got to remember, Ed Foster knows people.
So I was just saying, it's a good idea. You know, in my bag, I always carry a network cable and a USB print cable. You never know.
Yeah, I normally have that with me because of the, I love my MacBook Pro. It is so light and nice. But the problem is that you've got to have these special dongles,
right,
or you can't perform the simplest functions.
Hey, I still miss the days of infrared printing. I don't know. I used to love. Remember when computers had an infrared port in the back? You used to be able to point it at any HP printer that had the little red lens and your print job would magically come out. Whatever happened to Bluetooth printers? I mean, most of these printers, they've disabled Bluetooth printing. It really stinks.
Never worked for me because I would always have a stack of papers that would end up getting in front of the infrared.
All right, folks, 800-859-0957. We're having a good time talking about another, but we'd love to answer your questions. So get on the horn and ask us those questions, and we'll get the ball rolling here at 800-859-0957. One of the things that really impressed me about this first responder network that we talked about at the very end of the hour with TJ Kennedy, who is the head of FirstNet, is that you don't realize, or at least I didn't realize, the problem there is for first responders being able to get through to one another, you know, whether it's an ambulance or a fire or whatever else it may be.
I mean, intercommunication. Exactly. Intercommunications, right.
Exactly.
And I've been at the periphery of that, and it's amazing the work that's gone on the last 10 years here in the state, making it so that the different municipalities can communicate with one another when there's something that they need to collaborate on.
Extremely important.
And I remember with Hurricane Katrina, that's one of the things they did they put down portable generators with cell towers down there so that people could communicate, the first responders can communicate. But what they also discovered, and also this was 9/11, was that a lot of the first responders could not communicate to each other. They all shared different bands and had no direct link.
Yeah,
they had to go through operators. So this has been in the works for quite a while.
Yep. I remember. Do you remember when we had that rolling blackout where I forget what happened. It was didn't it start in Cleveland, I think. Wasn't it the...
Up between Erie and Buffalo,
yes.
I believe is where
what
it was.
It was a rolling. It was rolling blackout.
Right.
It was a blackout caused
the Northeast
by a virus on a computer that monitored the electrical systems and
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was a tree.
Okay.
Well, what happened to me was that I, you know, and I'm sure this happened
it was
to a lot
a tree,
of people.
But yeah. But the computers that monitor the lines that would have completed it were fighting a virus, and they couldn't switch it off, and then it became a cascading failure.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Dick Clark. He wrote a book on it.
Dick Clark?
Yeah, you know the general Dick Clark. We had him on the show.
Oh, okay. But there, I thought you
William Clark. Dick Clark did the dance show.
Oh, okay. Same thing.
I wondered how that happened. Okay. Oh boy. Okay, 800-859-0957. But I remember how frustrating it was. You know, to have a cell phone in your hand, wanting to tell my wife at that time that I was stuck because I was in Troy someplace coming home from work, and the traffic lights weren't working, and nothing was going on, and I wanted to let her know, I'm okay, I'm safe.
And then after about 6 hours, the batteries died in the cell towers.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And that was the weekend of the Woodward Dream Cruise.
It was
not well attended that year.
I forgot about that.
I don't remember that, yeah.
Wow, that is something. Yeah, so...
But, you know, nine months later, there was an awful explosion of babies, too. So,
is that what they call
lots
explosion?
Lots of things happened that weekend.
Is that what they call it? Explosion? Alrighty. Yes, it was. Yes, a population surge. Gary, how are things going down in Fort Lauderdale for you?
So, it's been a lot of fun. There's work to do on the boat that I knew when I bought it. So I have been spending, you know, my time making sure that we bring the boat up to kind of the level of quality that I'd like to see it. And but, you know, we're getting used to the area down here. Love living in the marina. And we've got a boat next to us that's a Sailcat, but it's the same hull. And so we're going to be trading lots of stories and lots of ideas of how to, you know, fix one thing or another. So
I bet you do. All right. Thank you very much for joining us this evening for the Internet Advisor. And you should know, phone lines are open. 800-859-0957. Another way of saying that is 800-859-0WJR. And thank you to our engineer, Tom. Thank you for... He's really been juggling grenades this evening. And Logan Standifer, my granddaughter and our screener. And the lovely voice that you hear when you call in. And do call in, please, at 800-859-0957. Gary, you were talking a little bit with us during the break about Michigan's position is in a data-driven economy. Yeah, talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I'm very involved in the Center for Data Innovation, and they just released a study that said Michigan ranks 15th in key measures of strength in data-driven economy. You know, when you think about it, while 15th isn't bad, there's 50 states, we should be ranked a lot higher given all of the large companies that are headquartered there in Michigan. And it's interesting that we wouldn't be ranked higher. Why aren't these companies using data to drive some of the innovation? So I went on and looked at some of the study results, and they ranked 22nd in another key infrastructure, which is digital infrastructure. And part of, I think, the reason is, again, what seems to be our strength, the large companies, may actually be a weakness because we haven't been able to get off some of this older, larger infrastructure to get into a more flexible arrangement to be able to allow us to use some of that data.
That really is the up-and-coming economy, isn't it, guys? Data, well, Cassin, you...
I think it's already here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So I'm curious why Michigan doesn't do better at that, then.
Well, I'm always cynical to look at the details on how they rank these. I mean, you know, you see the top college cities come out. And when you dig into the details, it's kind of screwy the way they came up with their criteria. So without seeing the study and the underlying piece, I'm just going to reserve comment.
What do you think, Ed?
Huh, I think it's a beautiful day, and I wasn't paying attention to what you guys were saying.
I'm back.
This is the segment where I'm supposed to help with the callers, and we haven't had callers calling in.
No.
I think there's something wrong with their phone lines.
Oh. No, as everybody's distracted with the same thing you were looking out the window at.
That's probably true.
Well, that's it, huh? 800-859-0957. I am surprised. Let me just mention something, folks. By the way, this is the last weekend for a while, and I'll be with you here on the Internet Advisor. That is because I'm going to be going into the Karmanos Cancer Center for treatment. And it's going to keep me up probably until close to the end of August. But I want to thank all the folks here who, all the well wishes we have received at home are just incredible. And I want to thank those of you who were listening. I hope Paul Amici out there down in Houston, Texas has been great. And all of our folks who have been listening to us for many, many years, thank you so much for your support. It means a tremendous amount.
And Foster, here at the radio station, and Gary and I would like to say this as well, you are in our thoughts and prayers. You're the inspiration for the show, and you're what make it tick. And we look forward to when you come back. And we ask our listeners to also include you in their prayers.
Thank you very much. But I just want to let you folks know, if you don't hear me for a while, we have not disappeared. There will be, by the way, a preemption for a Michigan State University football game coming up in a little while. I think it's in two Saturdays. But in any case, I will be out of commission for a little while. And so, go ahead.
And Ed is going to take over your duties, get us in and out of the segments since I'm down here. And he'll do a great job, and we'll keep the show going until you return.
I often think that the best shows that we have are the ones that happen when I'm not around, either when I'm on vacation or...
Well, that's because when you edit them and when you listen to them, it's brand new to you. It's not, you know, because you're editing them in the background the second time, and I do not like the listening to my own voice. I don't know how you do it.
After 40 years, I've gotten used to it. You're right.
You know what? My wife doesn't like my voice either.
No, whoops. Yeah.
But you know, nobody on the face of the earth can compete with Foster's voice. I mean,
yeah,
it's just so resonant and beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I do think that people call in when you're not on the show, Foster, because it's really about sympathy for Ed and I and Cal for stumbling through the show, and they go, oh, we got to help these guys. We'll call. We'll call and help them out.
All right, we'll pull the sympathy card out right now, and you can get started on the sympathy at 800-859-0957.
You know, and I was batting this idea around. Last week we were talking about how Microsoft's going to retire MS Paint, Microsoft Paint. If you recall, what they're doing is they have a 3D version of Microsoft Paint now, and they're retiring the old version. And a lot of people said, no, don't get rid of that clunky old thing. I use that on a daily basis. Microsoft has since then said it's available in the Microsoft Store and that you can go to on a Windows 10 computer, that you can go to the Microsoft Store and download applications there. Have you ever downloaded a Microsoft app through there besides Office 360? I mean, so I'm asking some of our listeners, what are some of the things you download from the Microsoft Store?
Yeah.
I mean, we know iTunes and Apple apps and stuff like that. You can download apps and stuff like that, but who uses the Microsoft Store? I mean, because it was so clunky when they came out with the Microsoft phone, remember?
Oh, exactly.
There must have been 12 applications that were even worth downloading.
And that was it. The only time I went to the store was when Ginny had a Windows phone.
And what Microsoft was really helping and offering it on the Windows environment is that developers would then finally populate their libraries out there and people would start downloading. So if you're a listener, what have you found worthwhile in the Microsoft Store? I mean, I guess that you would run on your computer. I mean, I know there's like a Facebook app, so I thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay.
Well, you're looking to the future. This morning, I looked to the past. My wife and I are getting a new couch, so we moved the old one out, and underneath there was a laptop.
Really?
Oh, really?
I booted it up. Yes, it's still booted. It booted to XP.
No.
And I was just looking around at the tools, and I'm like, some of them I couldn't even remember, but they were on there, so I must have used them. But it was a blast to the past.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we got somebody calling in from Dundee, so we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to say hello to Jerry from Dundee. How are you doing, Jerry? Hello, Jerry. Oh, boy. What a day, huh? Jerry. Tell you what, Logan, I'm going to put this on hold and see if we can wake him up in the background. I think he may have fallen asleep when he was waiting to get on the air. 800-859-0957. We're going to see if we can get Jerry back on with us to answer a question from him. You know, you mentioned the Microsoft Store. I don't think, well, I do know that when Ginny had a Windows phone, that was when I went into the store and downloaded certain things, and there weren't a whole lot to get there.
Right.
Wasn't a whole lot to download. Oh, my goodness. I think we lost. Oh, here he comes. We're getting some calls back in. All right.
So, but Apple just seems to be prevalent. Even the Samsung or Google Play Store is just stuffed with applications. And I visit it regularly, you know.
Yeah.
But
well, the question used to be how many flashlight apps or gaseous apps did you need?
What was that, gaseous?
Gaseous.
Mm-hmm. Like, was that like finding the cheapest gas?
No.
Oh, are you talking about sound effects?
Yeah. And what a nacho can produce on occasion.
Okay. Sound effects.
I know nothing about that.
800-859-0957. It's funny. We've had a bunch of calls come in and go out, come in and go out. So it may be a problem with the phone lines. It may indeed be. So keep trying, folks. All of a sudden, I've got all sorts of people calling in, and that's great. We're going to be getting to you in just a moment. We're about to take a break quickly, and we will get you folks lined up. And as soon as we get you lined up, we're going to charge in there and start answering your calls with the half of the program that we've got left. Okay? 800-859-0957. All right, let's jump right back into the calls. 800-859-0957. I think we are experiencing some phone problems, because we've got some folks back like Jerry. Hey, Jerry, how you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Oh, Jerry?
I'm Greg.
Oh, boy, this is interesting. So hang on just a minute. This is very strange. We are getting people bumped off lines, etc. Okay. Greg?
Yes.
Hi, go ahead. Our phone system is doing some very strange things, but I'm glad to have you here. What can we do for you?
I'm a native of Michigan. I'm living in Ohio. I love to listen to WJR while I'm working.
Good.
I got Windows 7 64 Pro. I'm running i5 processor for quite a while. I listen to WJR online. Mm-hmm. Now I can't get anything online from WJR out from the website.
Huh.
That's interesting. Are you having any problems with accessing other websites?
No, YouTube. I get plenty of YouTubes. I've listened to Clark Howard on the radio.
Perfect. Okay, and so what type of web browser are you using on there?
Firefox.
You are using the Firefox. Have you tried using an alternate browser like the Microsoft Edge browser that may have been, that was not Edge, because you're running Windows 7, Internet Explorer or Google Chrome, just to troubleshoot what might be the problem, if the problem is with the Firefox or
I've been running Firefox all along, and I didn't have trouble up to a
certain point.
Yeah, and I just know I got you try to go back to what you were doing and it doesn't work.
Right. I mean, because and that's
I'm,
it.
I'm in IE right now.
Yep.
I'm going to see what happens.
Okay. I mean, that's a good troubleshooting technique, just to see if another browser would function properly, because something could have happened with the Firefox. And I'm trying to remember if the it's an app or an add-in that they use, or we stream online with WJR. So when you click on it and say, listen now, it just blows through the browser. It doesn't require any special software.
Right.
The only menu that comes up, will you allow mpl.tunegenie.com to access your location, and I don't do that. I don't know what mpl.tunegenie.com is, but no. Hmm. And I'm in an IE right now, and it's again it comes with this TuneGenie.
Well, that might be the application that it uses to actually stream the audio.
You troubleshoot
what might be the problem. If the problem
it sounds like it's coming through.
And there
you go. And I had the exact same prompt. Do you want to wish? Do you wish to use MPLTuneGenie.com to track your location? And that's just the station trying to figure out who's listening and what geographical location they are and what type of people are listening. Are they in Ohio? Are you in Florida? You're in the Dominican Republic? We have people all over the world, so they just want to track your location. That's all that little cookie is.
FYI.
Yes.
IE worked. That was IE working. I had rebooted, or I had. I had access to IE, and that's what was working. And then I turned IE off. Again, I do not get any reception through Firefox.
In Firefox, have you installed any ad blockers or pop-up blockers by any chance?
I don't remember doing that.
Right, because sometimes antivirus software will block certain content.
The only one I'm using is Trend Micro.
Yeah, Trend Micro? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you might want to go into Firefox and clear your cache, and that could be causing problems with accessing the website. Clear your cookies and come back into the website.
I have all cookies turned off, actually.
Oh,
But he's had them turned off for a long time, and it still worked.
It doesn't mean that the station's streaming service hasn't turned something on to look for a cookie.
Well, I just now turned it on before I called you.
Okay.
I put the privacy, and I have the cookies, accept cookies from the site, but not from third parties.
Now, does Mozilla, I'm trying to see if Mozilla has the ability to reset, like Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer has the ability to reset settings by going in the tools and Internet options, and I do not have Mozilla installed, or Firefox browser installed on this computer, so I don't recall if it has the ability to reset the settings. I'm just trying to think of what else would cause it. Besides, it's usually just a corrupt cache file or a cookie.
Typically, that's going to be the problem.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to help you with this, but you can go to our site and go to the InternetAdvisor.net website, and there's a contact us at the bottom of the page. Write me an email, and then I'll do a little more research.
Yes, we can do more research at that point.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling, and take advantage of the links that are there on our homepage at InternetAdvisor.net. Lauren from Canton, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, Lauren.
Hi there. Some months back, I was driving in my car, and I heard you talk somebody like me into buying a Chromebook, so I bought one.
Oh!
But one, I don't know how to use it adequately, but two, I wanted to use it to also play or to buy an external hard drive, which they sold me, but was not compatible. So any ideas on that? Am I out of luck on playing DVDs?
Well, Lauren, we missed what you wanted to play.
She wanted to play movies or DVDs.
Oh, play movies or DVDs.
She purchased an external DVD player, I'm assuming. Did you purchase an external DVD or did your laptop?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bought an external one, but it was not compatible, and I understand many things are not compatible on the Chromebook.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, is there any way to play it on my television set? Like, I bought a Roku-type television set. Is there any way to hook up an external drive to that?
I know that there are ways of hooking up different things to iBaroku as well. And you can hook up HDMI.
Correct.
I'm going to guess you have an HDMI output?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
You probably can go from that HDMI output. There will be a plug on the back of your Roku. And what will happen is that when you start your Roku up, you will see the options that you're given there.
Oh, so you're assuming that our DVD, external DVD player, usually just provides a USB port. But what you just said is you think that it may have a HDMI?
No, I was thinking the computer had the HDMI.
No, I don't think it does. I was just told it's not compatible with a Chromebook.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, that's interesting.
A lot of things aren't, I think, compatible. I need to spend some time and learn about it, but anyway.
Yeah,
I would still like to play my movies.
No, that makes sense. I mean, But I never actually considered that for a Chromebook. There has to be a way that you can hook up external devices that are USB. Maybe you just have to go to the manufacturer's website and then find compatible accessories that they have on their website.
Good idea. And buy it from them.
Or buy it from them or find out some keywords that they're using. You know, who's the manufacturer of your Chromebook?
Acer?
Yeah, so go to Acer's website and see if what they offer as far as accessories for the Chromebook, and even give them a call because you have a manufacturer's warranty with them, and I'm sure they have a help desk.
I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was a good call. You know, I've never considered that, hooking up external devices. You would think mice, keyboard, but you're right. If I wanted to watch old DVDs or plug a Blu-ray in there, or does my Chromebook have an HDMI output so I can plug it into my TV? You know,
yeah.
I guess these are really, really stripped down. Some of the models that they're,
you know, that's true.
And not many people are going to be buying, and that's the trend. Not many manufacturers are providing DVD and Blu-ray players in their computers because everything streams according to them. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to get off Netflix.
Yeah, I had to buy an external DVD player myself.
I was shocked when I couldn't figure out how to hook up my VHS to my computer so I could watch movies. I had to buy a composite video card to do that. Right?
Yeah, really? Oh, boy. 800-859-0957. We've got Jerry and Dundee and... It looks like Burke, who is in Clarkston, and we will be getting to him in just a minute. Our number is 800-859-0957. And with these calls, we're going to be wrapping things up, and I will be seeing you folks, God willing, coming back at the end of August as we start stepping into the fall. And in the meantime, my able co-hosts, Ed Riddell and Gary Baker, are going to be handling things on this end, along with Kel Carson. And I'm sure Shane will be in here to help with that, too. So let's get a crack on a couple more calls here at 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. We're wrapping things up here. Let's jump back to our phone lines, which are finally working. Hello to Jerry from Dundee. Jerry, how are you doing down there?
I'm doing pretty good, but I got a problem that you won't believe.
All right, let's try us on.
I was going to be the dutiful husband, and I bought my wife a backup drive, a Toshiba, 1 terabyte.
Okay.
And it came with some software in. I can't think of it, stuff, Box 4 or something like that, a software backup, you know, came with it.
Uh-huh.
I dutifully backed up her computer with all her X-Files and pictures.
Uh-huh.
I went to restore it because she had had a problem, and the lead-in program for it kind of got corrupted and wiped out her computer.
Oh.
And I got a hold of the company, and they can't decode your file.
Oh, boy.
That's the part. They don't even know how to get into the files that their program made.
Well, probably because it encrypts it when it copied, they made the backup file, so... usually when you make a backup to an external drive, it may prompt you, do you wish to password protect this, the data backup? Do you recall?
No, they just said no matter what shape it's in, they can't decode it.
Okay.
that's what blew my mind, that they didn't know how to get into their program.
Yeah. Their own computer.
Well, Keston, your thoughts on this?
I'm stumped.
Well, because I'm thinking... There are several ways you could back up. You could do a complete backup of your entire hard drive, or you could just do the data. And if the manufacturer provided you a complete backup, it would make a bootable USB drive for you so that you can recover your data off the external device and or possibly the data. It didn't offer that. So
no.
So when your wife's...
It's on this portable hard drive is what it's on.
Okay. Can you actually hook it up to a computer? And
it's a Toshiba portable hard drive. Software came with the Toshiba drive.
Now, can you actually go onto the drive and see files in there?
I can see a little bit. Yeah, I can see where the files are, but I can't see the files.
Now, when you
go ahead.
No, so I guess what Kasten's asking is, do you see like a folder called documents, another one called my pictures?
Nope.
So what you probably see is is a backup archive.
I'm afraid they did a system image backup, which is a sector backup rather than a file-by-file backup.
Mm.
And so,
but it amazes me that they don't know how to get into it. I called them. They said, no sense sending it in or anything. They don't know how to get into their program.
Good Lord.
Well, they actually do that to prove that that nobody can get in, that they can't even see your data. So you have a... there's a lot of companies that do that with passwords, where you say, can you just tell me my password? No, they can't. It's truncated. Nobody can get to your password. And there are companies that say, we're going to provide such good privacy that not even our techs can get in. Because most of the time, when you're on a system, if you're on Gmail, you know, the Google systems administrators for their email program, they can get in and look at your email. But if it's so encrypted that even their own text can't do it, and there are some people that want that kind of privacy. Unfortunately, they should have told you that it was really good privacy before they let you, you know, do this, right?
Yeah. I even bought the upgraded program right after I got the hard drive and figured I'd have a better backups and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but unfortunately...
Sure, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but unfortunately what happened is when you ran it to recover the data, it wiped out the computer, and now you have nothing. Yeah.
So, guys, I've got one recommendation. There's a whiz who's actually listed at the top of the WJR Internet Advisor vendor recommendation page.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Tom Lawrence.
Yes.
And
yes.
Tom really specializes in this kind of thing. So if you go on the Internet Advisor webpage and find, I think it's Lawrence Computing is his company.
Yes.
See Very what good. Tom could come up with.
I will be glad to.
Do that. And then
he's a whiz. He's incredible.
I think the big problem you really have, though, is you don't need computer counseling. You need some relationship counseling.
So. Oh, dear.
Well, thanks. You're encouraging. You know.
Yeah, the computers can be replaced.
I'm 77 years old. You could even learn something.
You know,
there you go.
She'll still appreciate flowers.
All right, Jared, thanks so much for calling. Sorry, we couldn't do better than this. Bye-bye. All right, let's get to, I think it's Burke, am I right? Burke from Clarkson?
Yep, you got me.
Okay, Burke, what can I do for you?
Well, I was prompted to call when I heard the funny story about finding the notebook underneath the couch. And it brought something to my mind that's been on my mind for the last month or so, and that is that I'm my dad's guy. I used a couple of different computers. One was with an OS 10, and... but I keep an Inspiron Dell 9200. It's got a 17 and a half inch screen. And I use that for my email clients and occasional browsing, but usually just for the email and saving pictures.
Burke, hang on a second. I'm gonna put you on hold. I'm going to ask Logan to call you back. Because we're having a terrible time understanding what you're saying. So just hang on, and I'm going to have Logan disconnect and then recall you, okay? So before the end of the program.
Because we only have a few minutes. Oh, and regarding the DVD on the Chromebook, I found several YouTube videos that describe how to get it to work. That many different external DVD players work on Chromebook, and they have to tell you what application to use. So look through YouTube on how to get that to work.
Okay, excellent. Let's go to Ron from East Point. Hi, Ron. How you doing? We're going to try to get an answer for you quickly here. Go ahead.
Hi. I have Mozilla Firefox, and up until a couple weeks ago, it would load with no problem when I started it up. And I looked in the processes in Task Manager, and it shows three Firefox.exe*32 programs running at the same time.
That is quite common for every tab opened that you have. And if I was to open up a blank Google Chrome or Internet Explorer, there's always one or two of those applications running.
Oh, when I open, I get seven because I have applications running in Google. So
that's true.
Same thing with Firefox. You might that is not something that you should be concerned about at all. You've got another problem.
Oh, okay.
So another problem, there might be an application or a plugin that he has running in Firefox, like a weather notification that's on the toolbar or something,
sure.
That actually opens up another instance of Mozilla, as an example.
Okay. And hopefully it's when nothing... it opens up, it only opens up one window.
Correct. Yep.
And that's why I was curious why there'd be three.
Hidden windows. You could think of it like hidden windows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. I'm sorry. By the way, I'm going to ask Ron out there in East Point. No, Ron, we just finished talking with. Excuse me. We had Burke. We're going to give you give us a call back in, and we're going to try to talk to you offline before we wrap things up here. Okay.
Yeah, but not from Niagara Falls.
That's what it sounded like, under the falls. Folks, thank you so much for being with us this week. And I'm glad we finally got folks connected on our phones after all that trouble. Logan, thank you. Tom, thank you. Karsten, Ed, Gary, thank you so much for being with us down there in Fort Lauderdale. Guys, I know you'll have a great time with the program coming up here. Well, I'm gone for a little while, and you're going to do a great job. So,
Buster, our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Thank you so much, my friend. Take care.